within us. Our hearts are stirred. Alleluia, Lord, we sing.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
Well, it's almost Halloween. Time to sit around campfires or that one flashlight in a darkened room and tell stories. Any of you ever done that? Yep. There are many stories out there. Stories that we like to dive deeply into. Game of Thrones or its offshoot House of the Dragon. Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings. Stories like Breaking Bad, Stranger Things, and other series that we consume and are consumed by. That we use as a shorthand to interact with the world. There are also other stories that our culture tells us about who you are, where you came from, what you can or can't do, that tell us what our relationship is with the created world and each other. Now, some tell us that if we buy a certain product, follow a particular influencer, join this political party, root for that team, then we will have what we most desire. Fame, money, success, relationships, influence, happiness, freedom. These stories compete for our attention and loyalty, but are any of them the truth? Let me tell you a story. The created world is amazing. You know this through your own eyes. You have seen the glory of the colors of the fall trees, the beauty of a sunset, the images captured by the Webb Space Telescope. The created world is vast and awesome, and it is intricate and complex. And it is not created by us. We didn't build this thing from the ground up. It sprang from the same place that we did, from God. Scripture, the Bible, both the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament tell us a story of what was and what is, a truth that we experience every day. The truth that this world is filled with awesomeness and wonder. That humans are different from anything else in the created world. That we have within us something that sets us apart, something that allows us to create iPhones, rockets to the stars, the ability to peer down into the smallest particle, to capture the power of the sun, to create new compounds, to make life better. The truth is that this world is not a paradise. Death can stalk the land, coming for all of us as COVID did, or some like cancer. There is war. There is death and disease. We humans do and say things that hurt one another. We kill 6 million people because they're Jews. Or 3 million in Cambodia in an attempt to create a classless agrarian society. A human attempt at creating perfection. One that only leads to death and destruction. This is so because the truth is that we as humans have gone our own way. Believing, as the story of Adam and Eve tells us, that we can make decisions about what is good and what is evil. That we can take the place of God. Create our own Garden of Eden. And the truth is that never works out well. History, both distant and recent, shows us that this is true. How even when we are trying to create something good, it will almost inevitably rebound in some way to cause great harm. The story of Scripture, the true story of things, is the story of God who created this perfect and complex and intricate world, and the story of that God's pursuit of us. God's attempt to recall us humans back into right relationship with God and each other. And this isn't for God's ego, because God needs our relationship, because God is on a power trip and doesn't want a failed project on a resume. Rather, it's because God loves us human beings and wants what is best for us. Like a parent with a wayward child, God reaches out time and again, seeking restoration of this relationship. A covenant, a sacred contract with Abraham, freedom from slavery in Egypt through Moses, through the words conveyed by prophets and kings, God reaches out time and again to call God's beloved creation, us, back into relationship again. Us created in the very image of this God. And time and again, we fall short. Abraham and Sarah try and fulfill God's promise of a child on their own. And they succeed only in creating strife and discord within their household. Moses and the Israelites wander in the wilderness for a generation because they immediately turn to gods of their own creation rather than the God who brought them out of Egypt. Because they trust themselves and their wisdom rather than God. The truth is, on our own, we always fall short, that in many ways we are doomed to die. And God does not give up on us. God's love for us, for you, is so strong, God says, I'll send my son. Surely they will listen to him. And so Jesus, God in the flesh, came among us 2,000 years ago. Not as a strong ruler, a powerful religious leader, a warrior forcing us to do what is right, worship the one true God, love one another, or get a smack upside the head. No, God came as a child, born of humble parents from a rural part of Palestine. Emmanuel, God with us, raised as the son of a woodworker in a small town. And at the age of 30, after his baptism, Jesus began to speak. And Jesus told us the truth. That we are bound by sin and death and cannot free ourselves. That our stinking thinking keeps getting us in trouble. And leads us ultimately to death, no matter how much we think we're doing what God requires. Because it's not just about what we do, you shall not kill. It is also about what you think. You ever gotten so angry at someone you imagined even for a moment, choke them, smacking them upside the head? Well, guess what? You've as good as killed them and deserve the same punishment. And we can't help ourselves. We can't help ourselves. The truth of the story up to this point is that we cannot help ourselves. That no matter how hard we try, even with all God's prophets and kings, with commandments and covenants, we always fall short. So, God handles it directly through Jesus. Because God created all that exists and can do that. And you want to know the truth? The story that tells it like it really is? Listen to Jesus in our gospel today. If you continue in my word, you will remain my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Literally, it is if you abide, dwell, remain, remain in my word. If you make camp with your life in my word, in me, Jesus says, if you steep yourself in this story, if you become seasoned by it, embody this story, you will have personal experience of the truth of Jesus. And this truth, this Jesus, will set you free. Free from sin and death that comes when we live life on our own. Free from the need to be in charge. Free from having to prove ourselves. Because as the story that is told to us in the Gospel of John reminds us, God has so loved this creation, so loved us, that God sent God's own Son, Jesus, not to condemn the world, not to give up on us or anyone in this world, to hold the power button down and do a hard reboot, but to give us life. Life in and through Jesus. Life free from all that binds us. Life that truly is life. A life given to us when we were like Jesus on that Christmas morning. A child held in our mother's arms. Able to do nothing for ourselves. And at the font given a bath and a promise. A claiming. Just like God claimed God's own Son in a very public and real way. When we too hear the promise, beloved child of God, you are mine, sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ forever. And nothing can change that. And in that moment, we join the story. We are set on the journey of following Jesus, of abiding, remaining, dwelling, making camp in his presence. Because that's the only place to find the truth. To be able to have God's word pierce through all these stories which ultimately lie to us, which are so much sound and fury signifying nothing. This is the story that we affirm is our North Star at confirmation. the one that we continue to affirm, choose over and over and over again each week as we assemble around the Word of God proclaimed and the meal that is Jesus shared. As we dwell, abide, remain in the presence of Jesus embodied in this community of faith. A story that says we are free indeed. And little by little, with the help of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, through the support of this community, we begin to live out that reality in deed and in truth. The truth is that you are chosen, beloved, gifted by God's Holy Spirit with skills and abilities unique to each and every one of you. Ones that are necessary for the work of God's church on earth. Ones that when used as disciples of Jesus will give witness to the story of God's love for the world in Jesus and be a beacon of truth in a world filled with gilded lies. Deep fakes. Martin Luther and the Reformers cut through layers that had been placed over this story, probably because the truth of that story is so powerful, but it is also painful. We talked about that last week. To see the truth of what we have given ourselves to and left this wonderful gift behind, that hurts. In this story of Jesus, Son of God, healer, teacher, bearer of good news. In this God-human one, killed on a cross for loving, teaching, healing everyone. In this resurrection from the dead, which breaks its hold on our lives, in this Jesus, we find life. And as two children of our congregation will affirm their baptism today and step more fully into that story, may we also affirm our place in this story and abide, dwell, remain, live, hang out, pitch a tent, camp. In the love of God, shown to us through Jesus Christ for all people, and leave aside those other stories. Put away all other stories but this one, trusting in the truth, and that it will indeed make us free. Thanks be to God.